We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers, remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
If it walks like ducks, and talks like ducks, and quacks like ducks,
quack, 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 quack,
then it must be ducks.
guess it is. I guess that's my cue.
That is your cue, but only if it sings like ducks as well. You don't have to sing right
now.
We're going to have plenty of singing during the show. Now I'm going to give a... I hope I quacked you all up with that. And now I'm going to give her a proper introduction. When I first heard the record, My Baby Don't Love Me No More, I just fell in love with the DeJohn sisters. I bought the record, and I was only about, well, I was very young. I bought the record, played it over and over and over again, and then I wore out my copy, and I had to buy another copy of the record, and I played that one. I don't know how many copies I had, but I loved that song, and I loved so many other recordings by the DeJohn sisters. And for years, I have wanted to do a DeJohn Sisters interview. And right now, I have Ducks DeJohn of the DeJohn Sisters, and we need a drum roll. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is. Ducks DeJohn, how are you?
I am great. I am fabulous, Ronnie.
Was that so respectful?
Nice to be with you.
Was that respectful enough?
It was wonderful.
At the very outset, I want to point out that the DeJohn sisters were you and your sister, Julie. The two of you had a sound that was incredibly unique. It was so exciting. One of my favorite singers has always been Teresa Brewer, and she had a very exuberant type of a sound. And I would use the term exuberant to describe what you and Julie did. Is that a fair term to use for the DeJohn sisters? Exuberant?
I like it. We were energetic.
And, you know, I was thinking about this. If this were Jeopardy, Alex Trebek could give this answer. Okay, Epic, Sunbeam, Columbia, Capitol, and United Artists.
And Mercury.
Thank you. And the question would be, what are the record labels that the DeJohn sisters recorded for?
Pretty Hallelujah.
Impressive. You and Julie were born in Chester, Pennsylvania. And Chester was the hometown of an earlier vocal group that did reasonably well. They were called the Four Aces. And Ducks, I assume that you and your sister admired some female vocal groups that might have inspired you.
Absolutely, Ronnie. We used to listen to the Andrew Sisters, of course. They were the most inspiring group. I mean, they were awesome. And actresses, too. They were fabulous. They got us going. I had a lot of fun times with a lot of sister groups, but my favorites were the DeMarco Sisters. Fabulous.
Wow.
Five-part harmony, just perfect voices. They were just beautiful.
You mean the DeMarco Sisters, who used to be on the Fred Allen Show and did a gazillion TV shows? That's the DeMarco Sisters?
The very same, yes.
I have a little surprise. We have a lady on the phone. Could you identify yourself, mystery lady?
Yes. First of all, hi, Ducks. It's Lisa Brandy. I'm the daughter of Ann DeMarco.
Oh, wow. Lisa, it's so nice to talk to you. I love your mom.
Thank you. I have to tell you about my mother and my aunts. As you know, they sang five-part harmony. And quite frankly, Ducks, they were snobs because they had a harmony and a sound that was pretty unbelievable. But my mom
right.
and my aunts used to say the DeJohn sisters, they're so great, they sound like more than two. They sound like us. And to the DeMarcos, that's the biggest compliment you could ever get.
Oh, absolutely. That is so awesome to hear because they were our favorites.
Wow.
And we got together with them. We sang together at some event, I don't know what it was, but we all sang together, seven voices. We had such fun.
They scrutinized every harmony group, Dux, believe me, from the Osmonds to the Maguires. And my mom and my aunts used to say, oh, nobody does it like the DeJohn sisters. And they knew their stuff, as you know. They loved you.
What a great compliment.
Aww.
Oh, that's so nice to hear, Lisa. And are you singing?
I'm a singer and a songwriter, and I'm a writer and a director. Hey, if your family makes shoes, you make shoes. So my family did that, and I
Come
did the
on.
Same thing. I had great
You got
teachers,
it going.
And they believed
that's
in me.
Wonderful.
Although I must tell you something that I think you'll get a kick out of. Everything that they did was through song, my mother and my aunts, and even reprimands, because I first came to know your most popular songs through my mother. I used to call my mother every single day. We were very close. I adored her.
Yeah.
If I ever went one day without a call, one day, on my aunt's machine, I'd hear, my baby don't phone no more. That was her way of saying, call me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, she loved you guys.
Hey, Lisa,
really
Lisa.
Yes, Mom.
How would you like to do the rest of the interview? I think you could do it.
Oh, no one can touch you. Ronnie, what the DeMarco
sisters
were to Harmony.
Get in there, Ronnie.
Ronnie, what the DeMarco sisters were to Harmony, you are to interviews. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
You're making me blush.
Well, it's true, honey.
We actually covered two out of the three D sister groups. We got the DeMarcos, we got the DeJohns, and the only ones we didn't cover are the DeCastro sisters.
My mother and my aunts used to imitate them.
Oh, we did too.
Oh, we had that in common.
Did you say I got a lot to learn?
Teach me tonight.
We love them too.
Lisa, I thank you so very much.
Yes, have a great interview. I can't wait to hear it. Dux, I love you through my mother because she adored you and your sister. God bless
you. Thank
you.
Great talking to you.
Thank you, Lisa. Dux, you know, I love surprises. The two of you, you and Julie, started singing at a very young age.
Yeah, we started singing while we were doing dishes in my mom and dad's kitchen. And my father would swear that we broke $10,000 worth of dishes, you know, trying to sing songs. But we didn't. We were just so intent in our singing and our harmony that we'd spend hours washing and drying the dishes. Some of them broke, yeah, I admit that. But we didn't care about that. We were just caring about how our little harmonies got together and sounded. Anyway, we asked this one club, the Ukrainian club, if we could perform there because friends of ours, the Caruso brothers, were working there, all musicians from Chester. Fabulous musicians. And we wanted to sing with them. We asked the owner of the Ukrainian club if we could work there. We said, look, let us work there one night. If you don't like us, you don't have to pay us. But then if you like us, you got to keep us and pay us like $25 a night or something like that. So we got there and we worked there 2.5 years. They loved us. Yeah.
So you actually
got our way in.
Wow.
And while there, we met a local songwriter, Bob Schaefer. He said he had some money put aside, and he wanted us to record a couple of his songs because he liked our harmonies. And he said they went along with his songs. And so that's how we got about recording Never Since School, All Present But One, Should I Run, and added a song that I wrote in there called The Angel Passed By. We recorded those, and they were caught by a recording artist, A&R man, I believe his name was Marvin Holtzman, and he said he wanted to get those girls because they sounded like more than two, and that's where that came from with the DeMarco sisters. They thought, gee, maybe they're a couple of the DeMarcos, maybe they're three of the DeMarcos, only two. But our voices, when they got together, the polarity exploded and sounded a little bit more than two. Anyway, we recorded then on Columbia.
I believe, actually, The Angel Passed By was released on the OK label, which was a subsidiary of Columbia. It was one of their labels.
Exactly.
And that came out in 1954.
Yes, how about that?
And
I'm still alive and well. Isn't it great?
Fabulous. And you wrote this song?
The Angel Passed By. My mother would say this saying in Italian. She would say, when you're praying and the angel passes by and says, amen, you have what you were praying.
Michaela, Passata de Angela, Tita, Amen. And so I said, I think I'm going to change it to English. When the angel passes by and you happen to be praying, whenever the angel is saying, so be it, Amen, then you have it. So that kind of went along with my faith as well. I still believe that, even more so today.
There's an old Italian saying that the people say while praying, for they place all their faith in the angels above. When an angel passes by and you happen to be praying, at the time the angel's saying, so be it, Amen.
The angel passed by.
I think Marty Caruso, yeah. I think he arranged that, or else it was Joe Kuhn. I want to give the proper credit. Both of those gentlemen were very instrumental in our arrangements in the beginning. Joe Kuhn of Philadelphia and Marty Caruso of Chester.
Your second single came out. It was actually your first single on Epic, which is another subsidiary of Columbia. And I'm just going to play a little bit of this one, which is called Should I Run? And this was written by Schaefer.
Bob Schaefer.
As having a big, huge, humongous hit, the third one was The Charm. your second release on Epic. Well, if we want to include the parenthesis part of it, it was called My Baby Don't Love Me, close parenthesis, No More.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just see No More. It came out the end of 1954, and there's three writers on this one, J. DeJohn, D. DeJohn, and L.J. DeJohn. And who's L.J.?
Our brother, Leo. He always played piano while Julie and I sang. He was always fiddling around with songs and stuff, and he got this one. He said that he started singing, My Baby Don't Love Me No More. And my mother said, well, why don't you say, My Baby Don't Love Me Anymore? But he said, no, he said, it doesn't sing right. And then my mother said, well, you better put something in there like No More. So we put our little hiccup in there. My baby don't love me no more, you
yeah.
know. So that was appealing to the A&R man. Anyway, it was a big hit, and everybody copied our little hiccup. And it was so fun when we'd ride in a car and keep changing the radio stations and kept hitting our song every station we changed to. It was such a thrill for us, you know. Little hometown girls from Chester, Pennsylvania made big. Got to the top 10 on all of the national trade papers. The DeJohn Sisters and My Baby Don't Love Me No More. No more. Hey.
Love it, love it. I love what you just did. Okay. This is Ronnie Allen, and I'm knocking on your radio or whatever you're listening to this. The way you did knocking, whose idea was that?
Knocking at your door.
Yeah.
Julie and I together, we would always do things together like that.
I think that that part of it, as much as any other part of that record, makes that record, that knocking.
I think you're right. Thank you.
And what a catchy sound. The orchestra was under the direction of O.B. Massengill.
O.B. Massengill, one of my favorite arrangers. Oh, my goodness. O.B. was fabulous. What an orchestration that was. And we had the best sidemen on it. You know, we had people like Don Lemon, who played drums. We had Billy Butterfield on trumpet. The best sidemen that were working at the time in New York, that's who O.B. Massengill got to play for us. And we were so thrilled with the arrangement.
And it's really Dixieland. Absolutely.
It is Dixieland. We performed that on the Ed Sullivan Show, and Ed liked it so much, he invited us back to do another performance a few months later to do something else.
And there was a cover version by some other group, but we don't have to mention who they were, right?
Oh, that's okay. Well, the McGuire sisters did a nice job.
And it meant more do, re, mi for you.
We were so glad they did it because on the flip side was their number one hit, Sincerely.
Right.
So as songwriters, we received some royalties at the time.
Okay. You had a huge hit. They had a huge hit on the flip side of their record, and everybody was smiling back then. You did a version in 1955 of C'est la vie. Who decided to do that one? Was that just picked out for you?
I think it was. I think it was picked out for us. I don't think we chose it because it wasn't exactly our type, but they liked the way we did it, and so it was recorded.
Obviously, it was recorded because I got that recording, and I want to play just a little bit of it here to let people hear kind of a different side of the John Sisters.
Right.
Here's a little bit of C'est la vie, which means that's life.
Yeah.
Those who fall in love agree, it's the unsolved mystery. If your big romance cannot be, Santa cried, though she stole his love from me. C'est la vie, c'est la vie, c'est la vie.
That was a little bit of the DeJohn Sisters doing C'est la vie. And I'm Ronnie Allen, pleased to be talking to Ducks DeJohn. Absolutely flipped over. And I had my own record called Flip Over You in 1961. My listeners know about that, so that's why I said flipped over. Hata Chocolata, a song written by Milton Drake and Vic Mizzi. Do you know if this song was written for you?
I don't think it was, but we liked it a lot. And what we did was, you know, we would go around promoting our recordings to the disc jockeys, you know, when they played our songs. What we did as a gimmick, when we were promoting that one, we brought around a great big coffee urn at the time, filled with hot chocolate, and cups and cream. And we'd bring it around to the disc jockeys and say, we'd like to give you a sampling of our Hata Chocolata. And we would, you know, give them the hot chocolate, and they'd play the record.
They flipped and dipped it and whipped it and all that stuff.
They did. They loved it. We had to bring whipped cream, too. That's right. We flipped the dip of whipped cream right in the middle of that.
Hata, hata, chocolata, flip a dip, a whip a cream in the middle of a hata, hata, chocolata. Pick her up and drink her down.
Hot chocolata,
square cake, round cake,
chocolata.
Piece of pound cake,
chocolata.
Grab a chunk and dunk a hunk in the middle of a hata, hata, chocolata.
Chocolata.
Pick her up and drink her down. When you're going loco, you're out of your cocoa. Go down to the old jukery spot, and you gotta drink a lot of hot, hot
chocolate.
Chocolata. Flip a dip
a whip of cream
in the middle of a hot. Chocolata, pick her up and drink her down.
Hot chocolata,
hot chocolata, flip a dip, a whip a cream in the middle of a hot chocolata, pick her up and drink her down.
Hot chocolata,
square cake, round cake.
cake, pizza pound cake. Grab a chunk and dunk a hunk in the middle of a hunk of pasta. Chocolata, pick her up and drink her down. When you're gone, loco, you're out of your coast, go down to the old jewelry spot. And you gotta drink a lot of hot, hot chocolate. Flip a dip, a whip a cream in the middle of a hot. Chocolata, pick her up and drink her down.
Hot chocolata,
pick her up and drink her down.
Hot chocolata, said the John sisters. Now, a few moments ago, we mentioned the Ed Sullivan Show, and I understand that you got to meet a legendary jazz singer who was on the same show.
At that show, Ella Fitzgerald was on, who was my sister's and my favorite singer of all time. And that's when we met her. And she had become like kind of a friend throughout our musical career. I saw her, about 20 years ago in France, and she dedicated one of her numbers to me, and I was so thrilled that she had remembered me.
Were you aware that Ella Fitzgerald on YouTube has a version of Hot Chocolata?
No.
Would I make that up?
You're kidding me. You made it up, Ronnie. You made it up.
Well.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I didn't make
it up. I can't wait to hang up so I can get on there and find it.
I'm glad you didn't say, I can't wait to hang up after we did the first 5 minutes. Now, we don't want anybody to take this out of context. If you hear her saying, I can't wait to hang up, it's in context with Ella Fitzgerald. But
amen.
Yes, yeah,
amen.
I was astounded. I did a YouTube search on Hot to Chocolata.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
I was astounded. And she's actually singing it live. So I don't know if it was a recording or just something she did on stage or both. I'm not really sure.
Oh, that's adorable. I can't wait to hear it. She was the best. She was the best.
Absolutely. And you knew her. Friends with her.
Oh, yeah. We had dinner together in Manchester, England. And she asked the waiter to bring her some Capagol. I said, Ella, Capagol. I don't think they know that here in England. She said, why don't they know that? She said to the waiter, you know, Capagol, hot meat. And he said, I'm sorry, Miss Fitzgerald, we don't have Capagol. I said, we got to go to Philly for that, yeah. I said.
The other song that I'm going to play from 1956 was written by Frank Lesser. He's one of the all-time great songwriters, mostly for Broadway shows, but not just restricted to Broadway shows, but he wrote Guys and Dolls, and he also wrote How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, eventually.
He was one of the best.
One of
the best.
And he also wrote a musical called The Most Happy Fella. And probably the best known song from The Most Happy Fella may be Standing on the Corner, because the Four Lads had a top three record with that particular song.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another song that was at least very close to being equally well known, a song called Big D. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear that the John Sisters do their recording of Big D, I believe you're going to agree that it sounds like this song was just written for them.
We had such fun recording it, and we had to, of course, insert our little hiccup in there. People loved it. They just loved it. And we were having the time of our lives.
I'm sure you were.
My, oh yes.
You're from Big D. Big D, my, oh yes, I mean
This is R-O-N-N-I-E, Allen.
Uh-huh.
Song courted by the John Sisters, Ducks and Julie. Oh, now we get to one. I got a couple of questions about this one. Co-written by the great Nat King Cole. This came out in 1958. Nat King Cole wrote it with Irving Mills. And it's become kind of a classic, this particular song. Before I play it, when you listen to the record by the John Sisters of Straighten Up and Fly Right, you'll notice that there's some characters. I want to know who played the role of the teacher.
Julie.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Julie was the class.
Okay. And now, need I ask, but I will anyway, who played the role of Beatrice?
Well, gee, there's only one other, so I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count.
Okay, let's see. The first two don't count, so I'm going to say Patty and Laverne. Those two don't count.
Sure, you got it, buddy.
So I'm going to say, my third guess counts, so I'm going to say Ducks.
Okay. Yeah, I was Beatrice. Beatrice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is so adorable because, I mean, when you hear the Nat King Cole version, you don't hear the teacher.
It's so different. I know.
So who came up with this idea of putting in a teacher and Beatrice?
I don't remember, but like we did everything together. So after performing, we'd be sitting in our hotel room trying to figure out new ideas. We would just try to make ourselves so very entertaining so we just wouldn't be a recording act. We wanted to be an entertaining act as well.
Okay, let's go to school.
Children, we all went to the zoo yesterday. Now, what did we all learn there? Beatrice?
A bunch of took a monkey for a ride in the air.
Beatrice!
The monkey thought that everything was on the square.
Beatrice!
The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back. But the monkey grabbed his neck and said, now listen, Jack.
Look!
So straighten up and fly right.
Look!
Don't you flip your wig?
Her foot.
Why you have a diver? What's the use of a diver? Straighten up and fly right.
Her foot.
Cool down, teacher. Don't you flip your wig?
Oh, come on, Chris. Sing that, please.
The buzzer called the monkey. You are choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free. The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said your story so touching.
Let's play it again. No, I'm not going to play it again, but you can play it again when you listen to this interview. You can just, you know, backspace and hear it again. Wonderful.
Sure.
We got two more recordings. Before we get to them, I want to mention there's a CD out called The Complete The John Sisters, and I believe that's still available, isn't it, on Amazon and what are the other places?
Well, I hope so, because I've gotten so many wonderful comments from people who have bought it, and I think that my fans, there are still some out there, because I still get royalties They're not that great like they used to be, but I still get some. So apparently my recordings are being sold. And if they can find the record, the complete DeJohn Sisters, I think they'd enjoy it. 28 recordings.
Yeah, probably more than you even realized you did.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I was just looking at another interview from England. The guy sent me the transcript. He told me that I did some recordings, like this one's called The Heart Go Wander. Man, I don't remember ever singing anything like that. But he said, yes, we did it.
Are you sure it was you and that they didn't mislabel it or anything?
Oh, no, it's on the Mercury label in England.
Well, speaking of Ella Fitzgerald once again, one thing that she never did was record Lover's Slang.
No, she didn't.
She didn't do that one.
Now, that would have been a phenomenon.
This song, Lover's Slang, was written by you and your sister, Julie.
Yes.
How does Lover's Slang work? I mean, could you take any word?
Egi lego viegu. Okay, now, egi I. Okay, you got to put E-G in front of all the vowels. Egi legov yegu. You see? Now your name would be Regani Egal again. You became Irish.
And how about Dux de John?
Degux, Degi, Jagon.
Okay. Ladies
and
gentlemen.
It's not hard. It's just that we had to really write it out so that we wouldn't forget it or slip up when
okay.
we were playing. Egi lego viegu means I love you. Won't you leg of, won't you take of, see how I can mess up? Can't you
oh,
tell
not,
me?
Not as much
you,
as me.
Won't you take of, Maggie, that you leg of me.
Oh. Well, we're going to hear the record right now.
Okay, good.
The DeJohn Sisters. And I understand you did this one in 57 takes.
Oh, gee.
I made that up, actually.
You're mean.
Oh, I'm a meanie. All right, here
you're
is...
You're a meanie.
Here's Regan or whatever it is, me, whoever I am. And this is
yes,
the DeJohn Sisters.
Regani Egalitan.
Having fun with Lover's Slang.
Slay gang.
Keg is Maggie Dagger.
Leg over sleigh gang.
Hagel Maggie Nagger.
Leg over sleigh gang.
Egga leggo gaggo, please the Gary me.
Leg over sleigh gang.
To speak the lover's slang, place E-G before the first vowel in every word.
Leg over sleigh gang.
It isn't hard to do.
For instance, Dagu do.
Remember, A-E-I-O-U.
Leg over sleigh gang.
Egga leggo gaggo means I love you. Won't you tell me that you leg of Maggie too? Instead of speaking English, use the lover's slang. And we can hide our secrets from the gang.
Leg over sleigh gang.
Egg I neggy jaggo means I need you. Won't you tell me that you neggy's Maggie too? At a party, at a dance, or on the phone, we can make believe we're all alone.
Do, 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 do.
Keg is Maggie Dagger means kiss me dear.
Do, 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 do.
And when you do, haggle Maggie near.
Do, 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 do.
If you don't know what I'm speaking of,
do, 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 do.
Then jag up in the rag over my love. I'm just kidding, please, McGarry. Maggie means marry me. If you say you get spaghetti, then you'll see. We still can use the lover's slang to Bill and Coo. Have our keg is
tagging,
egg is
two. Do, 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 do.
Keg is Maggie Dagger means kiss me dear. And when you do, haggle's Maggie near. If you don't know what I'm speaking of, then jag up in the rag over my love. I'm just kidding, please, McGarry. Maggie means marry me. If you say you get spaghetti, then you'll see. We still can use the lover's slang to Bill and Coo. And have our keg is sagging, egg is too.
Keg is Maggie Dagger.
Haggle Maggie Dagger. This is what we call the lover's slang.
Leg over sleigh gang.
That was Lover's Slang, and I will not make a fool of myself by trying to prove that I am up to the task of doing it. I would if I could, but I can't, so I won't. Well, ducks, I hope that in spite of my misbehaving here and there, I hope you've enjoyed this.
Oh, you were a good boy.
Thank you so much. With all the joking around, I have the utmost respect for what you and Julie did over the years. I just love your music. How long did the DeJohn sisters stay together?
I went on to continue as Ducks DeJohn up until, let's say, 1997. I left the act in 1961 when I married, and I gave Julie the right to continue to use the DeJohn sisters' name. And she didn't record anymore with this other gal, but they went on to perform. She was another heavyweight gal, and she performed with her for about 3 or 4 years. And then Julie decided to go out on her own as a comic singer, and she did very, very well. She did Mike Douglas Show and other TV shows as a comedian as well as a great singer. And I went on to be a single act after I had a double act with my first husband. And then I went on to do Ducks DeJohn again. And my love of music really was always jazz, number one. So I became a semi-jazz singer and recorded with Duffy Jackson and Chubby Jackson and some jazz players. I sang with Clark Terry and Billy Taylor and did some recordings with Art Porter and Flip Phillips. I tell you, I really had a great time, especially doing the music that I loved the best, the jazz type and the old standards.
You mentioned Clark Terry. I remember Clark Terry did a recording called Mumbles. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, that was, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to include it in this show, but after you've listened to this show 25 times, what I want you to do is go on YouTube and do a search on Clark Terry and Mumbles, and then
be
prepared to laugh. Absolutely awesome. What can I say?
He was great, and he gave me a great compliment when I sang with him. He said, "She is one of the last great true jazz singers."
What a compliment from
him.
Yeah, he
did say that, and I cherish that.
Well, ducks, since he was nice enough to say that, I am going to be nice enough right here to treat my listeners to a few seconds of Clark Terry doing Mumbles. By the way, he recorded that with the Oscar Peterson Trio. We are going to close the show right now with a solo recording by you, Ducks DeJohn, from 1981.
I do want to thank you so very much for being so kind to me and doing this in such a special, respectful way. May God bless you abundantly.
Well, thank you, Ducks. And I want to wish you many more years of health, happiness, and continued success. Honeysuckle Rose, this is from 1981 with Chubby and Duffy, or is it Duffy and Chubby? Which name comes first?
Well, Chubby was the father. Duffy is the son.
And this was recorded at Ernie's Summer Jazz Festival, and it's your performance of Honeysuckle Rose.
I loved it. I loved working with that group. It was one of the greatest jazz groups I've ever sung with. Chuck Moronic on piano, Ron Davison, and John Swan, and Chubby and Duffy. The greatest. I enjoyed it immensely.
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my sincere pleasure to introduce a very, very lovely lady and an extremely talented singer of songs. Please make her feel welcome. Here is Miss Ducks DeJohn, ladies and gentlemen.
Jealousy, it's when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows. Honeysuckle Road. When we're passing by, flowers droop and sigh. They all know the reason why. You're much sweeter, goodness knows. Honeysuckle Road. I don't buy sugar. Just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar. It's sweeter when you stir it up. When I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Oh, your confection, goodness knows. Yeah, yo, my honeysuckle grows. Well, let pray, honey, be fills with jealousy. When they see you out with me, well, I don't blame them, goodness knows. Honey, 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 honey. When we're passing by, flowers droop and they sigh. They really know why. Yeah, oh, sweetheart, goodness knows that you're my honeysuckle rose.
To Ronnie remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
Well, that's the show. And now, for your additional listening enjoyment, I have a couple of bonus tracks. During the show, we heard that the John Sisters' inimitable recording of Straighten Up and Fly Right, where Ducks was learning about animals. Well, here's a recording in which the DeJohn sisters were learning something else. It's called I'm Learning the Charleston. Finally, I am pleased to present another solo Ducks DeJohn recording, done in 1981 at Ernie's Summer Jazz Festival with all those great musicians. Now, around the middle of this recording, I thought that I was hearing Ducks mumbling with Clark Terry, but I was wrong. She told me that it was not mumbling, but scat singing, which is similar, but not the same thing. And she was doing it with Duffy Jackson. I hope you've all been taking notes because there may be a surprise quiz. Here's her rendition of another great standard, How High the Moon.
You know, when I was a real, real sweetheart, I heard June Christie, the Stan Kenton Orchestra, sing this song, and then since then, all the greats have done this tune. Like that, my version too. Music, music, music. Oh, here we go. Somewhere there's music, how faint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, how high the moon. There is no moon above when love is far away too. Here it comes true that you love me as I love you. Somewhere there's heaven, where you are. Where there's music, how near, how far. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will have still my heart. Oh, somewhere, somewhere the music I'm playing too.
Boom, 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 boom